We are back. The Gunsmith Show here on US 103.1, your home for ultimate classic rock. And the Gunsmith, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 right here.
That's right.
And we're talking some about the Gun Violence Prevention Task Force and some of the new legislation. They're fleshing this out and just kind of updating you on where it's going, some of the new... Because they pass a law, and it's taken away. This was a couple of years ago that some of these laws passed, and it takes a while to...
Implement.
Yep, yep. And you start to rubber hits the road, so to speak. You've got to flesh these things out. We talked about some of the ambiguities still with respect to like the Capitol.
Yeah, Capitol building, which buildings which are banned,
included.
Which are not. So you got to know that stuff. If you carry all the time, you try to be aware of your immediate surroundings and know what's going on. But then you got to go to Lansing for something. And what do? You know, I mean, I've only been to the Capitol building a couple times in my life, but I don't ever plan on carrying there.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to know before I go if I can, you know.
So, right.
Now,
or if it means, you know, what do they mean by and related buildings? Those
yeah,
are the
exactly,
kind of things
yeah.
you need
what
to have
is,
specified.
You know, if I'm at the where I have to go get my builder's license renewed, is that one of the buildings that's considered a capital? And it might be. So,
yeah.
And then you find yourself, well, it's just better not to carry.
What's a resource to go beyond a little more in depth? Are any of your other folks?
I would listen to the Gunsmith Show every Saturday.
Well, that's obviously the first resource. But I'm wondering if like the MCRGO or
well,
any of those places.
Well, MCRGO is going to be able to help me. And I'm going to reach out to Steve Doolin and see if he has any clarification. Because I can tell by their posts lately, there's so much happening right now. And
they're probably still sorting through it.
There's so much. And this whole show is about it. So yeah. We're going to dig into it. But this segment of the show is brought to you by Tri-County Roofing. Our good friends at Tri-County, of course, are sponsoring the show. They have for years, and we are so appreciative. If you've got a roof, and everybody does, maybe even multiple roofs, or you're in charge of them at your church or your school, or you're into that building committee where you got to make serious decisions on church roofs, get a hold of Tri-County Roofing. Have them bid your job for you. That's what they do. They specialize in low pitch and flat roofs, but they also do shingled roofs. Their number is 810-732-7740, and you can always link to them right from our website, which is thegss.com.
Can I add one thing?
You please
quickly?
Do.
So I we're talking to a guy. We work with a lot of businesses here, obviously, and talking to a guy who had another company come in and to repair a couple of leaks.
Oh yeah.
And didn't end up having them replace the roof, but he had them, you know,
patches and repairs.
And percent. When they left, it was leaking. And they had not just two, but they, and he was so ticked off.
Oh, well,
and I said,
I've literally had that type of mentality on my cruise before. Well, if we drill a hole here, the leak will be here and we'll be able to control it, but it'll take the water from that hole. And I'm like, no, we're not going to have any.
I don't know. I don't know what they did. I don't know.
I had a guy drill a hole in the bathtub.
He was not happy. And I got to tell you, and I said, this is exactly why you need to call Tim. I sent him out there to meet with him because now he needs a roof. And I'm like, but you need people that you can trust, that you can rely on. They've been doing this for a long time. They really know their stuff.
I was serious about the bathtub thing. I had a guy call me out to his house, said, I have a problem with my bathtub drain. So I drilled a hole in it. And it leaks through my dining room ceiling, and I have a bucket there where I can catch the water. And I'm like, wait.
Directing the flow.
Oh, my God. And he was dead serious. And I talked to him this week. He hasn't changed much. It's been years now. But it's like, that did not just happen, but I swear to God it did. So it takes all kinds, and there are all kinds of roofers out there. Make sure you get a good one. We choose Tri-County
Roofing.
Call
these guys. Yeah, they'll take great care of you.
810-732-7740, and thank them for sponsoring the show. Okay, so now the new Gun Violence Prevention Task Force as the state of Michigan has a lot on their plate. One of the biggest things they're pushing on their list right now is clearly banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. They, in their words, in very, very clearly, we just don't need them. And, okay.
Is that their words?
Their words are, I have a quote in here, and I'll get to it. It's sickening.
It's buried somewhere. You can't find it.
Well, I got it because I dig into it several times. It's very frustrating. Let me keep going. raising the minimum age to purchase certain firearms. certain firearms. They don't say what firearms, but certain firearms
yeah.
to 21 from 18.
Okay.
And they clearly state that the mind isn't developed enough to own a firearm until they turn 21 or older. There's even been talk of making it 25. So you can go to war, you can go to battle, you can do all these things, you can drive race cars, you can do everything you want, but you can't own a gun. You know, that's basically where they're at with it.
Started a child care operation?
Yeah. The Leaming Center, whatever it is. Yeah. So now most of this legislation and recommendations are based around preventable firearms-related deaths. Okay? That's what they based their processes on and how they wanted to move forward. Because roughly 1,400 deaths a year from children 0 to 19, 1,400 a year in Michigan are from gun-related. Over half are suicides. And the suicide is from 17 and a half to 20. That's why they raised the child part to 19, to include 19-year-olds. So that they were able to skew those numbers. Because we know from our experience with Tommy's Heart that the largest killer of youths in America is sudden cardiac death. But it's not reported as such because there are no national studies to follow it at this time. But it's coming. So there again, mental illness and pure depression is causing a lot of these problems. Now, it's guiding gun regulations and restrictions and recommendations that take away our gun rights and abilities to defend ourselves and our liberty because of mental illness. Or I would say maybe severe insecurity. You know, it could be part of it. But it's there again, it's better teaching, better schooling. There's a lot of things that could go into this. But I think starting with gun safety and security in the schools, in teaching, guns aren't bad. It's the person that pulls the trigger that are usually bad. You know, my guns haven't killed anybody. They're just sitting in the safe. They're perfectly fine, but yet I still have to keep them locked up. But it's for the general public's safety, not for the guns. So this new gun violence task force is proposing more things, longer waiting periods, strengthening existing school gun rules, meaning the gun-free zones and stuff will probably be expanded. Increase purchase age to a minimum of 21 years old. Close the what they call concealed pistol license loophole. Now, they're calling that a loophole. And it's if you have a CPL in Michigan, you've already had a background check. You've already deemed yourself trained, and the state has deemed you trained. You've bought a license. You paid $130 for it. And that is your license to carry a gun. And
you've been trained. You've been vetted. You've gone through the steps that they require.
You've done your background checks. And you have a CPL now, so that clears you so that you don't have the government bureaucracy of having a background check done.
How often do you have to be recertified?
Every 4 years.
Okay.
I believe it's 4 years at this point. It might be five. I think it's four. I just do it. I don't worry about it. I just get it done. Of course, they want to ban the ghost guns, which we talked about earlier. Standardized training. And that's another vague statement, standardized training. Now, I understand more training is important. And but does that mean we'll have to go through a 40-hour class to be able to have a gun? You know, what does that mean? So we want to get some clarification there. More education on secure storage. I'm all for that. Support community violence interventions. I think that goes with the red flag stuff, you know, and that's, again, going to support people that are trying to get a PPO against their boyfriend or you know, whoever, significant other, that's beating them up. I think that's very important. And one of the things they say is removing barriers on PPOs and extreme risk protection orders. That's probably pretty smart. Now, you can pull a PPO on anybody if you have proof and you can, you know, show cause. I've only done it once in my life, and it worked when I did it, but I wasn't that bad of a victim. So
it'd be nice if they concentrated perhaps on some training of the people who enforce the existing rules that are meant to protect people.
Yeah, because we see a lot of that.
They want to add new tools. They want to add new things that are meant to prevent these things from happening. And yet, you can have all the tools you want if the tools aren't used properly.
Exactly.
Then
you have to
you're
be
not
able
going
to know how to enforce the rules
they
have.
The kid down in Oxford.
Yeah.
I mean, there was every indication that should have been prevented.
Right.
All the tools they needed to prevent it were in place. They had perfect justification to have prevented that shooting, and they didn't. It wasn't from lack of having new measures in place to prevent that from happening. Is that they did not have people
to enforce it
who knew that this was a situation where it had to be prevented.
And in summary today, this all, every bit of this legislation comes from Oxford. It's all since then and their reaction to it. And it that boils down to a couple things that we're going to talk about, but bad parenting and improper gun storage. And, you know, you don't let your 12-year-old
and,
know or 14-year-old you know
the
how to get into the
no,
safe.
No, exactly. You know? I mean, those are things where the parent, but before it got to that point, the school knew
school
there was a problem.
Yep.
And it was the resource officer, I think, as well, was involved.
Or the counselor. Somebody there at the school was involved.
Knew that.
And I don't want to call him
but it's. But the thing is, you know, and the parents are culpable,
yes.
And the kid, but, you know, the kid's young. You know, he should not have had access.
Right.
Should not.
But he planned this.
He planned it. No, I understand.
Yeah.
But the fact is there was plenty of a tool. There were tools that could have prevented this that were not used.
And
I don't know what that adding any more tools to the toolbox is going to prevent it if you don't have people on the scene who know
how to deal with it. Yep. So educating on secure storage, clear guidelines for firearm relinquishment. So like when... We got to have very clear guidelines on what police should do if somebody's deemed
a threat to themselves or others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How do we get them out of there? What if grandma or grandpa's delusional and they've got 16 shotguns in the closet?
Yes.
They need to go somewhere.
Do they get destroyed? Yep.
Is there going to be a medium that goes between them and the family to make sure that the people that want the heirlooms and deserve them because it is their...
Yes.
rights to get them, they shouldn't just get destroyed.
Those kind of situations, though, that's what you're looking for. You're looking at how can we fix
how
things
can we
which
make
are
this
real
better?
Because you don't want those to fall into the hands of a grandson who's or someone who's going to misuse.
On the way in this morning, a buddy of mine is an FFL. We were talking about what happens in Michigan if you don't have a trust and you have suppressors, what happens to them if you die? Because I'm at that age where I'm thinking about, you know, what's going to happen to my stuff? I thought, my wife and sons are the beneficiaries. He says, no, suppressors all get destroyed. Mm-hmm. They're not transferable.
Okay.
So I go, no. And he goes, well, don't fret. He goes, what do you got, $2,000-$3,000 in suppressors? And I said, yeah. He says, unless you have a trust, and they're in that trust, which is you and other people, that they'll go to them, they get destroyed. And he says, but it's only a couple $1,000. So you're already dead, so don't worry about it. They don't have to have them. They were yours. So it kind of eased my mind a little bit. I said, well, it's okay. You know,
that makes sense.
I get it. But, you know, you don't always think about this stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things, one of the last things on their list is strengthen victim support services to address domestic violence.
Yeah.
And I think that's crucial.
Yeah.
There's good points here. And then there's far-reaching, reaching through my door, grabbing my stuff that I don't like. So next is the scary part. So we'll talk about that next. So we got more coming.
The scary part. Okay. That's coming up. You're not going to want to leave then. That's a good tease, Jen.
Yeah.
That'll keep him through the break. More Gunsmiths after
Fill
this.
Fill up your coffee.